Welcome to everybody. Hello, everybody out there. Hello to Linda. We're glad you're with us, and we're hope you're encouraged tonight. We know that Barry's just left, and that you're by yourself now, but we know that there's some good things coming. We're excited about that. She sent me a long email saying how excited she is for this new chapter in her life, and that's a good attitude to have when you've just lost your mate for decades, and so we're thankful for that. And got people from Indonesia that are listening live, people from New Zealand, people from South Africa, people from Europe. The group that's been listening has probably tripled in size over the last couple years, which is pretty amazing. They're still tuning in, even though I give a good bullshit now and then. Yeah, start that right out to chill out the crowd, okay? Yeah. So, so anyways, what is reality? Well, that's a huge question, isn't it? And I'm sure all of us have some kind of ideas about what is reality. And reality is no respecter of persons. This means that it does not care what you think you are or what you like or do not like about life in the world. It has no hypocrisy. It has no partiality. All these things come from our mind. Reality has nothing to do with the mind's subjective feelings or judgments about anything objective. Well, boy, that just sums up just about everything, doesn't it? It doesn't care. It does not care. It doesn't even care, let alone look. That pretty much leaves the listener with nothing to do and nowhere to go. And that's when I got all the... What do you mean? There's nothing to do and nowhere to go. Well, we're going to explain that in detail so you understand what that means. Because you're going to go somewhere and you're going to do things. Paul summed it up when he said, when you think you are something, when you're nothing, you're deceived. Now that really sounds debilitating and judgmental and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, it's probably the most wonderful statement you could ever understand at its truest meaning. Jesus said it all the time. The Son can do nothing of Himself. Well, nothing isn't something. He didn't add, you know, legalese of 3 pages of conditions of what that meant. Wow. That's always been a big word. I wrote years and years ago about the power of nothing, and everybody just laughed at me. So the mind of identity or personality, the individual hates that message that Paul said. He despises that message because the first thing you say is, what do you mean? I've got nothing to do and nowhere to go. What does that mean? And that's really the heart of the dilemma that we want to talk about. However, when the heart gets a glimpse of this silent killer of the ego, because that's what it is, it begins to speak into the silence of your heart. And nothing matters anymore. Uh-oh, really? So we're really touching on the edge, really walking on the edge, aren't we? Nothing matters anymore. What do you mean nothing matters anymore, Mike? That's really the heart of what I really want to get into tonight, so that you understand that in a way that really helps you know why those things are so true. why are those things so true? Why did Jesus say the cares of the world come in and choke out the truth? Why did he say that? What about those parables when he talked about those things? You know, they have a lot of meaning to them that are so hidden behind all of the literal meanings that we take to life, because all of us, with our eyes and ears and our senses, with the five senses, are continually judging a corporeal world. We're faced with it. It's not something we're trying to do. We're not out there trying to make life miserable. It's already miserable enough on its own. Well, the appearance is what? Continuously approach us with, is this right or wrong for me? Or is it right or wrong for the world? Or is it right or wrong for the government? Or is it blah, 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 blah? I mean, it just never ends. And this world presents to us the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The whole world presents that to us. It's not just a tree in a garden.
Right.
It's presented to us every day through the senses. We've talked a lot about that over the last months and years, how the five senses screwed onto your mind continually paint a picture of deciding whether something's right or wrong. Now, this is going to twist your brain in a knot. There's nothing right or wrong with it, except it's in the realm of illusion. And in the realm of illusion, that's what it is. But you just have to realize you're in an illusion. That's what you got to realize. Yeah. If that's where you're at, yeah, and that's what you're doing, it's not about whether it's right or wrong. That's just where you're at.
Yeah.
That's where you're at. But I'm telling you now, you'll never, ever be satisfied. There's dissatisfaction there, and there's struggle there, and there's indecisiveness there. There's a lot of things that torment you in that place, because the eyes of man are never satisfied. And this is what Solomon described as the definition of hell and destruction.
Yeah.
Just being in a place of dissatisfaction. You being in a place of dissatisfaction. Well, being dissatisfied isn't the problem. It's you. You're the problem. And now that sounds again like judgment, okay? But it's not, and I'm going to explain to you why that's not judgment. So, I just posted, just today, just to set out some little beats, you know, for people to get them excited, you know, and they're already blabbing away out there on Facebook. The one thing that's been speaking to me about all the roads that we seem to be traveling on is that the real truth of reality is very, very, very simple. It's very simple. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And that has just resonated with me, and it's just gotten louder and louder and louder. Well, what did he mean? That it's reality is very, very simple. So why does it appear so difficult all the time? That's the question that we need to answer. Why does it appear so difficult all the time? Well, it has to be simple. Truth has to be simple. It has to be the simplest thing you've ever heard in your life. And it's so simple that nobody can see it. That's how simple it is. And that's why it's hard to see. Because it's so simple and it's so obvious that no man can ever see it. He said, this peace is beyond understanding. It can't be understood. It's that simple. Wow. It really is that simple. So what is reality? Well, all there is this. Right? There's no gurus. There's no seeker, there's no creator, there's no destiny, there's no journey, there's absolutely nothing to find. All there is this. All there is aliveness. simple fullness. It is complete and needing nothing. No thing to make it better. In the appearance realm, yes, things certainly happen. Shit hits the fan. But they're happening to no one for no reason. There is no purpose or plan for your life.
That's hard.
Well, what's happening all around us right now? We're hearing chairs move. People are giggling. Some people are shitting their pants. Some people are saying, I can't believe this shit. Let me out of here. Some people are saying, what the hell's he saying? Huh? All of that is what this is. All of it's what's happening. And we're surrounded by it. We're totally surrounded by it. We're surrounded by unconditional life and love. And that is all there is. But nobody is doing it, and that's the catch. That's the quagmire. See, nobody's doing it. But you're surrounded by unconditional life and love, and that's all there is. You can't be taught to breathe. You can't be taught to see. Do you know how many millions of microorganisms are functioning inside just your body? And yet, arrogantly, we think we have something to do with that, when we didn't even have anything to do with who we were born to and what sex we are. And somehow we jump off the bandwagon and think we're controlling things. You had no clue or choice in who or what you were going to be. You didn't have a clue even then. It was all determined for you. And we'll talk a little bit about predestination. That's not really true, because I just told you there's no plan for your life. And there's a really, really good answer for that. It's just there's no future. Anybody's got a plan's got a future. There's no such thing as the future. If you got a plan, you've got to have a future. And your ass is stuck to it, just like flies on the ketchum, you know, that they catch, hang around to catch flies with. If you've got a plan, well, you're stuck to it. And it's going to be miserable to you. And you might be lucky like 1 in 10 million and it'll stick. But really, if we're honest with each other, it hasn't worked. Life is surrounding us. It's exploding in all of its fullness all the time. It never is not exploding in fullness. Full on life, right here. This is it. It's it. It's right here. It isn't going anywhere. And it doesn't need to do anything. So, over the course of this weekend, we're going to talk. Some of us will fart a little bit and quietness in the back. We might be a little bit of coughing. We'll get up and have some snacks. We'll eat food. We'll do all these things. But it's all life. There isn't anything that isn't life. Nothing's excluded. It's just full on life. And the strange thing, which I want to keep shoving in there, is it's not happening to anyone. This, you got to really listen to this now, because this is really the crux of our problem. It's not happening to anyone. In the appearances, out of nothing arises what? The story of me. I've got a story. And we've fallen into the idea that we are separate people. And that we have to go out into the world and navigate with everyone. We've got to negotiate with everyone. It's a world that's out there and is separate from you. And we have to deal with the world every day. We do. We have to deal with the world every day. So what do? We're taught from when we're little that this is the way you have to behave to succeed in the world. So we learn that we're separate individuals having to fight, right? We've been taught that. It's nobody's fault. It's just the way it is. And it's really part of life, even though we don't understand real life. Not understanding what real life is part of life. There's nothing out of order. Absolutely nothing. So we're taught to be separate individuals. And in order to get what we want, we've got to make an effort. In order to get what we want to make us happy, we need to do what? Choose this or that. Uh-oh, does that sound familiar? We're absolutely convinced that we are an individual and we can choose this or that. I'm going to ramp it up a little bit more. We can choose what is right for us or what is wrong for us. We're absolutely convinced. And we always need to get better at it. But all of our efforts can be completely blown apart in just one little event. Shit hits the fan. And everybody knows what that feels like. I'm telling you right now, I know what it feels like. It happens about once a month, just like clockwork. My plans get blown all to hell. And guess what? Every time it happens, here's the problem. I take it personal. And when I take it personal, this essence of right or wrong, this image of a God that's watching me, appears. As soon as I take life personal, I feel, what did I do wrong? Yep. It's just a feeling. But it's not reality. Because what I just told you that just shocked everybody and made everybody shit their pants is, life is happening to no one for no reason. What does that do to taking life personally? It blows it all to smithereens. Nobody is special. Matter of fact, to say even that we are love is a curse. Because then you got to live up to it. And who's doing that? Because what is love? Well, it's sort of nice and fluffy. And it's kind. And it doesn't ever kick the dog. And so you got all those rules surrounding the curse of you thinking you're love. Love is all there is. It's all there is. And it includes you kicking the dog. Huh? Yeah. Life is full on. Just the way it is. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do, and there's no one judging you whether it's right or wrong except your own ungodly mind, which that's what it is. This God thing is just all activity in your mind, saying that's right or wrong. There has never, ever been any mistakes. None have ever been made, and none will ever be made. Where you're at today, you wouldn't even be here if you in the slightest remote detail could have went in and screwed it up. Because it was already screwed up anyway. According to Hoyle. Huh? And whoever else you want to interview. The story is full of right and wrong. Our judgment of our story. Well, what if the story is perfect in every detail? What if the story rushed into today and history was no more? That's just quite a relief in and of itself, just to be delivered from your history. Because what?
the God mind of control thinks, well, I've done this right and I've done this wrong. All coming from the mind, you know. I'm telling you now, I've been around the horn a few times, folks. I could read you my story and it probably bore most of you to death, but it doesn't sound good. Okay? I mean, I'm on my seventh business. Number seven? Seven. What happened to the other six? You don't want to know. So we're taught that we are separate in the world and that we have to go out and deal with the world as separate individuals. We're taught, and it's so ingrained in us and it's mixed in with all the appearances, that there's always a right or wrong out there facing what we're supposed to be doing. And then shit hits the fan. When and if we do succeed and we got everything we wanted, it's never enough. It's never enough. I mean, think about the rich and famous. I mean, do I want to bring up some of the stories about people that had enough money to choke 1,000 horses and jumped in a bathtub and drowned themselves and overdosing? Just to name a couple. It doesn't work, I'm telling you. Whatever you think you need is just a pipe dream. You have everything. You're surrounded by everything. It's surrounding you every day. Life, full on, is surrounding you all the time. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. So, I mean, think about this right now. Some analogies and stories aren't so good, but this is a pretty good one. If you were the poorest Ethiopian child right now and you instantly became one of us, you'd think you were a fucking millionaire. Right now? And you were here and realized all the stuff you got? Huh? I mean, they're scraping away for a meal every 2 or 3 days. So it's all subjective, objective, isn't it? Huh? Do you see what I'm saying? This is all the game that the mind plays with us, being where we're at and not being satisfied. That's what it plays. And so as I talked about, the real sticking point is that whatever happens, we take life personal. And this is where good and evil appears, and it always appears as fear. Every time. It appears as fear, and the desire to control comes in then. Well, we better make this happen. We better make that happen. We better change this, and we better do that. Because this isn't right, and that's not right. And guys, I'm not asking anybody to raise hands, but I mean, if we're just honest, this stuff is going on. And guess what? When you're in a dream, that's what goes on in the dream. That's what a dreamer does in the dream. It's perfectly perfect, but you've got to realize you're in a dream. It's a dream. And to talk about it as an illusion probably isn't really right. It's just a dream. It's just an aberration of where you think you are. And we're constantly jockeying around and wanting to be successful and wanting to do these things. And what happens when we take life personal and fear comes in is then control creeps in and the desire to play God is born. And this is where the whole concept of a God came in. Needing to control the people. Needing to control the environment. Andy Leach put up a beautiful post in Facebook about how God, the one we've known all our lives, was formed to control the masses. It was created to try to control the masses. pretty crazy, huh? We sung about it tonight, you know. We don't believe in a Jewish God of right or wrong. Well, if there's no Jewish God of right or wrong, there isn't any God of right or wrong. The only God of right or wrong is the one in your head that we have created. I heard the guy the other day, it said, God didn't create man, man created God and created a need for God. And the most you're going to get out of it's a golden calf. That's it. It's deaf and dumb and it can't do anything. And if it is, it's not doing a very good job, okay, in my opinion, okay? I'm just telling you. I remember once when I was really close to the Maryland Hickey Bible Church and the Assembly of God, charismatic, and I was praying over my bulldozers and my backhoes, and because I had to go out of business because God didn't make that work right, because my brother was supposed to be an excavator, never showed up, but he sure wanted me to buy all this equipment. And then I had to sell it for half the price. I thought, well, God, you know how much I owe God. You know what's owed. And so we know we're going to get that much money, and it came in half what I owed. Well, God, what's going on? What did I do wrong? Huh? It's just such a nice, what a relief to be delivered from that kind of nonsense. And we're talking about it more tonight, is that when we take life personal, we create some kind of an image that behaves like a God outside of us. We really do. It's sort of like a little black cloud following us around. Why isn't it going better? You know, well, what's better mean? You know, it's all subjective. Like I said, you could be Ethiopian and you'd think this is a jackpot, you know? Huh? So what is better? Well, it's all subjective. So as we get older, we sort of grow out of the need for things a little more. And making achievements, that sort of loses its excitement. And we find out about enlightenment. Wow, well, maybe this is it. Then we look for a master. You know, I mean, I've been called a loving guru all the way to an asshole. And you know what? Since I don't take life personal, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I mean, I could hang on to the loving guru part, but I don't want to be a loving guru. Because then I couldn't cuss.
Or smoke cigars.
Yeah. I couldn't do that either. Or have scotch. Jeez. So we go to people like Muji or Joel Goldsmith or Tony Den Hartog or a lot of the other teachers, Preston Eby, Tolle, we've got all these guys we go to. But still, yeah, and Sigler. But still, we are being told just how we should be. Even in enlightenment, we are told how we're supposed to be. And that by choosing this or that, we can get something. Well, it seemed to work our whole life that way. It's a little more subtle, you know, and it's about fluffy, nice things, you know. Choose love and be loving and, you know, don't bark at your wife. And if you're love, you can't argue anymore. Could you? Huh. You can't ever be pissed off. If you're love, and that's what I mean about thinking we're love is a curse. Okay? You're not love because love is all there is. You don't own it. You can't control it. There's nothing but love. And however it comes and whatever it does, it's all love. It might not sound fluffy sometimes. But it's not apart from what? Full-on life. Now think about that. Come on now. I'm here moaning out there. There's quite a deliverance in understanding that. Because it sets you free from trying to be responsible for being loving.
You can't be loving. Love is all there is. Well, what does that mean? Love is expressing itself as you all the time, in everything. All the time, in everything. Now, I've got to tell you, you know, since I've been around all this love juice and all this nice fluffy stuff, I don't have a desire in me to be unkind. But I didn't decide to do that on my own. It just sort of happened. I didn't say, well, I'm going to not be unkind the rest of my life. But there's something in me, an energy in me, that's putting the brakes on. I didn't create it. Do you see what I'm saying? But if I slip on a banana peel and flip somebody off on the freeway, I didn't lose it. That's what I'm saying. Does that make sense? There's no condemnation in any of it. Now, I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy slipping on a banana peel on a freeway and flipping people off. But my point is, life is all there is. Just the way it is, every moment, every little thing that happens is full-on life. There's nothing but life. And we've said it since we were at Roberts over a year ago. There's only love. There's nothing but love, and you can't do anything about it. Well, if we're trying to decide what's loving and not, we're making it conditional, aren't we? It's unconditional. It's beyond the comprehensions of how the appearances present it to us. It's beyond all that. It's beyond it all. You could have a terrible, crazy event happen in your life. You know, I know a guy that worked for us that had to go to jail because of manslaughter. He got drunk and was in a car and killed somebody. And that guy today goes around apologizing to me over and over in one meeting, and I don't know anything about it, and he's still apologizing to me and hanging his head down over that. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to go around and crow like a rooster, but I'm just saying, everything that happens in life, no matter whether it appears good or evil, is full-on life. And there's nothing you can do about it, because it is love. No matter how it appears, it's love. We're surrounded by it. We're swimming in it. And we miss it because there's still a sense of what's right or wrong, still, in the consciousness. There's still a prejudice. There's still a sense of hypocrisy. Although enlightenment and gurus have squeezed it way down to 90% fluff and 10% bullshit, yeah, it's still got 10% bullshit. Mm. Well, that disappears when you realize the bullshit's part of it. Yeah. And I'm not going to go out and start increasing the bullshit now and be more mean to my dog. You know, because when I get little wild with my wife, I'm telling you, I feel awful right away. I mean, why would I want to hurt such a lovely, beautiful flower from Nebraska? Amen. And I don't. But guess what? Shit happens. You know what? Right in the middle of the living room, you know, a little pile shows up. Oh, yeah? You bastard. It's all part of life. All of it. There isn't anything that isn't. And this is what truly delivers us from the responsibility of thinking we're a separate individual. Life is just life. And to arrogantly think we can somehow control it with our tiny pea brains is what the illusion is. That's the illusion. Okay, that somehow it needs to be controlled when nothing is out of control. Absolutely nothing. Even enlightenment, we're told. I really went headlong into the Infinite Way. Huge group, you know. I don't know how much you guys know about Infinite Way, but they were international. They had chapters, and there was the great teachers of Joel that were set up around the world. And I had met a descendant of a teacher, of the teacher.
Oh.
And the democracy continued, and the authoritarian part of Infinite Way continued, and I went and joined, and I fart when I was told to, and you're not supposed to speak, you know, and all we did sit around and meditate and listen to Joel tapes, okay? And I was so, so fascinated with the unbelievable truth I've never heard before. I just was completely obedient. But then I realized it really wasn't a lot different than religion. I was still, as we're telling you, being told that I had to do this or that. The burden of the individual never left. The burden of the separated individual never left. It was way down. So when I did fart, it hurt more. Because I was trying to hold it in. You know? Don't fart. We're in a meeting. They're meditating. There's no noise out there. You can't rip a big one off in a meditation meeting, okay? You can't do that. Because you don't want to crack up and smile when you're meditating, because then you're not meditating. Okay? You just can't do that. I'm telling you what, I was in torment. Because, I mean, it depends on what I eat. I mean, it just happens. You know, I mean, what can I say? Really, even in, you know, I've studied to death a lot of gurus and a lot of teachers of enlightenment, and there's a lot of beautiful truth with Joel's, and I'm appreciative of it, and I'm appreciative of a lot of the Eastern teachers, but still, there's still a tiny little black cloud there, and I found out what it was. I know what it is now. And so, when we meet these things, this is really the teaching of imprisonment. Because the teaching of imprisonment is, I am enlightened, so you can become enlightened. You are a separate person who can become enlightened. That's the problem. You are separate, and you can become enlightened. You might as well just go back to the Orthodox Church. I'm just telling you, we've compressed it down to 10%, but that 10% is still Orthodoxy. And it follows you around, although more subtle and more fluffy. Like I said, when you fart this time, it's a lot more dramatic. So, you are a separate person who can become enlightened. Absolutely untrue. It is a treadmill. Although it seems to be a higher treadmill, nonetheless, still a treadmill. The treadmill of what? Of a separate individual with free will and free choice. And so we go on eating rice and meditating in caves, and nothing happens. Simply because what? We're trying to become enlightened. So there's a question from a listener. Somebody sent me a question. He said, what is the advantage of waking up? And here's the answer. There is no such thing as an awakened person. No one awakens. No one becomes enlightened. Becoming aware of self is what started the whole belief in separation to begin with. Many teachers teach that awareness is what we are, but awareness was the beginning and is the beginning of separation. Reality is not awareness.
consciousness and awareness are just the modern word for God. And the idea that there's something that can control something, no matter how subtle it seems, it still has religious undertones. There's no such thing as an enlightened person. Now, this is why I told you it didn't bother me when somebody called me an asshole and somebody said I was a loving guru. Because I'm not enlightened, folks. And I'm so glad that I'm not enlightened. I'm not any different than any one of you. I'm not any different than anyone listening. There's no difference at all. Just because my understanding says more of the right words in a different order than you might doesn't make me better. There's no such thing as better people. There's just no such thing. Because there's no one separate that's an individual with free will and free choice. No such thing. Real awakening, this is real awakening now, is the realize, it's the full realization that there is no one. Real awakening is the full realization that there is no one that needs to awaken. When the seeker drops away, that which is sought becomes apparent. Why? Because reality never came and it never went away. Paradise, folks, has never went anywhere. Just so you know. Paradise never went anywhere. It's still full on here, right now. Completely and 100% in order. Full life. Surrounded by it. Reality never came and it never went away. In Genesis, we see the allegory of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve left paradise because they became aware of themselves. They became aware of their nakedness. Their nakedness represented seeing themselves as separate from paradise. Separate from. That's all that happened. Paradise isn't connected to three rivers near the Euphrates, south of Egypt. Okay? Just telling you. It never went anywhere. So really, this is the good news now. I've been beating you down. There is absolutely no separation. Separation itself is a dream. The dream of separation. Right now, you are as perfect and as whole as you're ever going to get because there is no you that needs to get perfect. There isn't a you that needs improvement. There isn't a you that needs to be more responsible. There's just full, complete life surrounding us all the time. It's really spontaneous. It really is. And I'm going to give you some more tools that help you understand this a little better, you know, as we go into the weekend. And here's something that can really help you. Kid, how could anyone or anything be separate from everything? I mean, life is everything, all the time. It's never not life. We've sung about it. We wrote songs about it tonight. It said it in the song. I was reading it. I'm going, great, I don't have to preach. But I can anyway. Love is all there is. There's nothing but love, and you can't do anything about it. Well, guess what? Because there's no you to do anything about it. There is no separate you. There isn't. Now, that should be a huge, huge relief. It should be a huge relief. It isn't going to make sense. I'm telling you right now, there aren't words to describe what beyond understanding is. It's something that has to be felt. I can't make you be not separate. I can't go in and tell a dreamer to get out of the dream. It's impossible for the dreamer to escape the dream anyway. It's impossible. The dreamer will never escape the dream. Ever. Got to just die. And that's what happens at our passing. Tomorrow I'll talk to you about three things where every one of you, every day, gets a full-on glimpse of what I'm talking about. Every day you do. And when you hear it, you'll know it. That you get a full-on glimpse of exactly what I'm talking about. Remember I dream a genie? Yeah? It's every man's most greatest show. Gorgeous genie running around, giving you whatever you want. Beep, 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 beep. Unless she got in a bad mood. Right? But if you got everything you thought you wanted all the time, it would never be enough. Why? Because the you can never be satisfied because there is no you. That's the problem. We're trying to satisfy something that does not exist. The separate individual is a dreamer that is in a dream. And so when we talk about illusion, that's the definition of it. It's about a dreamer being in a dream, trying to make something of himself. I'm telling you what, folks, I've failed. I have totally failed. And if you think you've succeeded, come on up and we'll start another church, okay? If you were to study my story, it ain't good. Hello? It's not good. But hallelujah, there's no self-improvement because there's no self to improve. And this is real enlightenment, to realize nobody needs to become enlightened. I mean, study the guys. Study the guys. Mahara, Miraji, Muji, Papaji. You know what they say? Maybe in 10,000 years there might have been two people that were enlightened and never farted. I'm serious, a heart attack, that's what they say. And so people are worshiping them and following them around and lifting them up. What? Just like a god. Even though there's a lot of really good truth that comes out of that stuff, there's still a hierarchy there. There's still levels there. Huh? There's still levels. Well, if there's levels, there's condemnation. I'm just telling you. There's exactly. If there are levels, there are devils. He's making notes right now for his message for Sunday morning. If there's levels, there's devils. Sally, you're not one bit different than me, because you know what? Neither you or I are real. I am not reality. You're not reality. You're swimming in reality, which includes you, but you have no control. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We're drowning in it. All around us, we're drowning in it. The phantom man is not real. And so he can never become enlightened. Hello? Hello? Oh, what a relief. I'm telling you right now, it's such a relief.
Takes the pressure off.
Huh?
Takes the pressure off.
Well, it does. Takes the pressure off. Talk about letting out a lot of gas. That one feels good. That's a big one. That which we have been seeking is totally constant, and it's always present, full on, complete, everything, all the time. Nothing's ever missing. Nothing's right or wrong about it. Ever. 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 Nothing. That which we long for is already this. Right, Ann?
Yeah.
It's this. It's total oneness. It's total aliveness, full on, without anything directing it. Why? Why is there nothing directing it? Because it's total, unconditional love, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't direct something that's unconditional. There's nobody directing it, because then it would be prejudiced. So there's only unconditional love, and there's nothing you can do about it. I know a lot of people just with that statement when it came out a couple years ago just went, whew, there's nothing I can do about it. But then what do? We go back out and try to do something about it. That was the issue, because we didn't really put the nail in the coffin like we're doing tonight. So the picture we've had has only at best been sort of a mental awareness, right? So a lot of this language I'm sharing, I've said it before. I've just took out the gobbledygook, the bullshit. I've just skimmed the bullshit out of it, okay? I've just nailed it down a little better. You are not separate from anything. And you can control nothing. There's nothing that needs to be controlled. You can't control everything. So why try to control something? Why try to peel away a little bit of everything and arrogantly say, I have control of this. I can decide when I take a dump. I'll tell you what, you get a little older and you can't. Huh? I'm telling you right now. Huh? This will tack on about 20 years and you're about 80, and I'm telling you, there's times when you're going, yeah. No more stories, right? Okay. No more stories. That which we long for is already this. It's total oneness, it's aliveness, it's complete. So our belief in enlightenment our belief in enlightenment is that we're very still and all of our problems no longer exist. And we get super quiet and we begin to see ourselves sitting on a cloud in meditation. Yeah. Yeah. But it's the idea. It's what we're told in all the meetings. I'm telling you, just be silent. Be silent. There's some people that don't know how to be silent, okay? So I guess they're excluded, right? They're the devils. The ones that can't be silent, the ones that can't meditate, they're the devils.
That's me and Israel.
Yeah.
We can't be quiet.
But that's the idea we've had. But when waking up to reality happens, it's a total surprise. Now, I know some of the things I've been saying and the way I've been saying them are shocking. But that's exactly what we need to hear. We need to be twisted. We need to have the bullshit twisted out of us. Okay? Reality is totally natural. It's totally ordinary. It's so simple that it cannot be seen by the separate individual. It can't be seen. It's beyond the visible. It's the unknown. It's the part that we can't understand. Because of what? It doesn't make any sense to this and this. And it certainly doesn't fit into my world. At times, you know, I've got an enlightened world because I've got it under control. And things are fluffy and stuff's quiet. And things are, the nails are showing up just at the right time. And the bulldozer guy doesn't run over my mailbox. And that's it. This is it. I know it. This is nirvana. Then the backhoe guy comes and digs up your septic system because he thought that's where your house was supposed to go. Oh, it happened to me. Oh, yeah. Tore up all to hell. Somebody moved the flags in the middle of the night. They had some kind of party and somebody moved the flags, you know. Yeah. What do you do then? You see what I mean? Huh? So, simple. Oh, man. Isn't that what we need? Is something so simple? Here you got Wesley Joe. Could just sit her down and just say, honey, everything that happens is life. Everything. Now, how simple can you get?
And she knows that.
Well, when we're little kids, we haven't been taught out of it yet. I mean, does a dog sit around and think, where's my next meal going to come from? Huh? Sit there and contemplate and be still and not bark and meditate so that Lucy won't steal my bone? Because she was a bone stealer. She stole everybody's bone. But if I meditate, she will quit stealing my bone. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always some condition to it. But if it's unconditional and it's everything, guess what? You've got no control. Wow. That sounds sort of good somewhere. I'm not sure where it sounds good, you know, but it sounds sort of good somewhere. Right? I'm trying to figure out where that is, okay, to be honest with you, but it really sounds good somewhere. There's nothing I can do. Oh. So that's what makes it a total surprise. So we want to control something in some way. And that's where the difficulty comes in. Okay, that's what makes it difficult. Reality is simply walking around in love with this. Right now. This is it. All there is this. All the time. And it never changes. And it never goes anywhere. Hello. Right now. This is paradise. Right now, this is paradise. And who told us it had conditions? Who told us it had conditions? Who told us it had rules? Who's the one that told you? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. All there is love. And there's nothing you can do about it. We're swimming in it all the time, but unaware of the boundless freedom that's all around us. When we are no more, what is found is the perfect lover. Yes. Who never leaves and never judges. Well, who is that? Because it sure as the hell ain't me, is it? Huh? It's not the separated me, I'm telling you right now, that's the perfect lover. It's never the perfect lover. You're surrounded by the perfect lover all the time. It's never saying, Mike, this is wrong and this is right. That only your mind is saying that. Yes. That's the devil, by the way, is just the mind speaking to you, accusing the brethren. We're swimming in it.
What about, and here's one of the best analogies I've ever come up with, and it's sort of been told, but in a different way. We're in the ocean, right? And we're a little school of fish, okay? And we're the fish running around asking, where in the hell's the water? Seriously now, where is the water? Yeah, where's the water? It's so everywhere, it's so everything, we can't even see it. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's so everything and so everywhere, you can't see it because your little pissy ass thing you're bitching about stealing it from you. See? The little gnat is saying, where the hell's the water? Where the hell's the water? We'll call it Nemo. Okay? If that's all you remember is Nemo in the story, you'll know what I'm talking about. We're swimming in reality all the time. And we're never not swimming in reality. All the time, full on, full steam ahead. Every moment. Nothing is out of order. Nothing's out of order. Every moment. Well, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. That's what I say. You got nowhere to go and nothing to do, and that's what I mean by it. There's nothing you have to do. There's nowhere you have to go. You'll go places. You'll do things. But the pressure's off now, isn't it? The pressure's totally off. Now, if you're somebody that floats around and sort of lives that way, you're already saying, well, hell, I could have told you that. Huh? Yeah? Wow. What's the perfect lover like? No conditions, no requirements, no judgments, full on love. Completely swimming in it, screaming at us all the time about everything. Totally screaming at us, this is love, this is love, this is love, this is love. This is love. This is love. Screaming all the time. And the little bitty thing can't hear it. The little bitty ear screwed to the little tiny pea brain can't hear it. Okay? Because that's what we're tapped into, right? The dreamer in the dream. The aliveness we're talking about is the realization of everything and yet nothing at the same time. Now, why do I say nothing? Because it's nothing specific and it comes out of no thing. As soon as we try to name it and call it something specific, we again enter into a sense of judgment. Okay? Everything is beautiful. Everything is right. Everything is perfect all the time, no matter how it comes to you. I mean, sometimes you feel like you got to bend over. Oh, well, it's all love. It's all part of the yin and the yang. But... But when we're an individual, thinking we've got free will and free choice, we're trying to control it and we can't see clearly. Because when we look, we always look with the eyes of a businessman. We're either looking to protect ourselves from what is seen or to get something from what is seen. We do not see as unconditional lovers of life. That's the way it is. Even in that, there's nothing right or wrong about it. It's just what it is. It's the description of the dreamer in the dream.
trying to change his dream. But you can try all you want to change your dream. It's still a dream, isn't it? And so the whole thing collapses when what? When you disappear. And all of a sudden, I'm not putting conditions on things. I mean, I had something huge happen again, you know, a couple weeks ago. And it's the first time, this is big, it's the first time I didn't feel like I deserved it. Now, who said, like they're surprised? Everyone feels like they deserve it. I'm just telling you right now. Anybody that's a seeker, when something bad in your life happens, you feel like you deserve it. Anybody that thinks otherwise is deceived. There's a feeling, there's a sense that something happened with my great-grandfather's grandfather that might have handed something down, and it went on from generation to generation, and somehow this was supposed to happen to correct me. All of it's bullshit. Life, full on life, is always, always unconditional love. No matter how it appears. It doesn't matter how it appears. It doesn't matter whether it appears right or wrong. We don't live in a right or wrong paradise. Paradise isn't about what's right or wrong. So, real life, full on, begins when we realize everything, I mean everything, all the time, is unconditional, omnipresent love. We've never been in the wrong place. Ever. Never. I've said it 1,000 times, I've said that. I haven't understood the depth of it, the degree of it, like I do today. I knew it was true, but I didn't have the feeling and the understanding of it like I do today. That unconditional, omnipresent love is never in the wrong place. Well, it means I'm never in the wrong place. I got to go with it. Yeah. Never. And so tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we'll be back with you. And the wonderful, stupendous Reverend Gary Sigler will be presenting to us. And the majestic Robert Rutherford and the wonderful Miss Sarah Kawa will be all entertaining you. I told you they're going to put on their glorious dog and pony show, and it begins tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Free admission.
Free admission. We can't take an offering up to you, but send money anyway. Anyways, we'll see you all tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Thank you.